Hey everybody, this is Alex Merced, and you are listening to the Web Dev 101 podcast. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Alex Merced Coder. Okay, and make sure to always be checking out grokoverflow.com and devnursery.com to find all my videos, tutorials, and all that fun stuff, which is all freely available. And subscribe to my YouTube channel, of course. But today's episode, we're going to be talking about CSS, just kind of explaining like what is CSS. So CSS is one of the three main technologies that browsers can read. So when it comes to like different types of languages that the web browser can read, we've talked about HTML so far. The second one is CSS, which stands for Cascading Style Sheets. So while HTML is more about kind of composing the structure of the content on the page, CSS is more about describing what that content looks like. Okay, and then basically the way CSS works, and again, I'll link to some content for learning more in the podcast notes. But the way CSS works is what you do is you create CSS rules. Okay, and each rule, what you do, you have a selector. And a selector basically points to something that can be in your HTML. So it could be like an HTML tag. It could be, you could actually assign what's called a class to any tag, and you could target the class, you could target the ID, you could really target anything. But the selector allows you to select, say, hey, when this thing shows up in the HTML, this is how I want you to make it appear. These are the particular styles or properties I want you to apply to it. Okay, now where does the cascading part come in? The thing is that multiple of these rules, these CSS rules that you create, can then apply to any element because, you know, two selectors can end up targeting the same element on the page. And this is one of the more fun things about CSS is that basically what happens is that every selector has a score. And this is kind of how, when there's two conflicting properties, so you have two different rules that apply to the same element in CSS, how it determines, like, okay, which one wins. Okay, so I have one thing that says the text is blue and another thing that says the text is red. Which one wins? And that's done through what's called specificity. And the idea is the more specific the selector, the higher specificity score it has, which means it's going to have a higher priority in, you know, applying that particular style. And these are the kind of things that, like, if you're new to CSS, or take a little second to kind of wrap your mind around, because, you know, kind of thinking about priority and like what applies to what, it can be a little bit tricky. Okay, even people who are seasoned developers oftentimes still struggle with CSS because it's not sort of a straightforward, a logical programming language like a JavaScript or a Python or something like that. Now, what happens is the way the specificity works is that if it's an HTML tag that you're targeting, so if you're targeting like an H1 or the body tag or a div, any kind of HTML tag, that scores one. If you target a class, a attribute, an attribute would be any other key value pair in an HTML tag other than a class or an ID. If you target an attribute, then those are 10 points. So classes and attributes are 10 points. And then if you target an ID, since IDs are unique, you can only have one element with the same ID on any page, then that gets 100 points. And the thing is that you can have compound selectors. So I could target an H1 with the class of cheese, let's say. Okay, so since I targeted an H1, that's a tag, so that'd be a score of one. But since I targeted an H1 with a class of cheese, a class would be 10 points. So overall, the specificity of that selector would be 11 points. Okay, and again, understanding this is really important because a lot of times what happens in CSS is you create rules and you don't get the results that you expected. And oftentimes it's because you have rules that have higher priority. And with HTML, with CSS, with JavaScript, browsers are going to provide you with developer tools. Okay, so it's really important that you learn how to use like the developer tools that are built into browsers like Chrome, like Firefox, because they're going to provide you a lot of really great tools for assessing this. Like you can kind of like take a look at what the HTML looks like the cur of the current document under what's called the Elements tab. But also under that tab, you can see the CSS that you can click on any element. I can click on like an H1. And it'll list all the different CSS rules that apply to that element. And not only will it lists them in the order of specificity. So I know like the higher a rule is on the list of rules that apply, the higher priority is. So it gives me an idea of like what things are overriding each other, which thing, where are the conflicts? Okay, and again, it's really mastering these dev tools that are going to really save you a lot of time when you have unexpected problems come up in your web development. Okay, so taking the time to like watch a video on dev tools and really learning like how they work and how they can help you really is to your benefit. But yeah, that's what CSS is. Now, the thing is that the CSS has a vast amount of features that you can apply to any element on the page. Some of the most important things are what's called the layouts, the layout features. And they come in generally in two flavors. So once upon a time, these things did not exist. So you had to use what was called a float. And a float was really meant for like newspaper type things where, you know, like in newspapers, you would float, you know, you'd have a picture on the right and then you'd float some text to like the left of it or the right of it. That's kind of what the float property was meant for. But then people started wanting to create multi-column designs, multi-column websites. And there really wasn't a built-in way to do that because just that just wasn't a thought in the early days of the internet. So then what happened is people would use floats and you would be able to create like you'd be able to float divs to the side and end up having that column effect, but it was really difficult to kind of like make it res basically it would break the minute you resize the browser because it wasn't really built to be responsive. And mobile phones weren't even a thing at the time. You know, when a lot of this stuff started. So what happens is that eventually CSS introduces these new things called Flexbox and Grid that allows you to change how different block elements. So now block elements are basically everything in HTML is one of two things. It's either a block element, meaning it holds content inside of it, so it's a block that can hold text, pictures, or it's in it's actual content. It's inline, which would be like pictures and text and form elements. So what Flexbox and Grid do, it changes the behavior of blocks and how it treats the blocks that might be inside of them. So how do you treat the blocks inside the block? So Flexbox, what it does, it kind of naturally just says, hey, you know what we do is instead of stacking the blocks on top of each other vertically, we'll stack them side by side horizontally by default. And then you have a bunch of properties where you can determine like do they wrap, you know, how do you space them? There's also some really cool features. Flexbox is really great for like, sometimes people I'll just wrap things in a Flexbox just to align things in it. I don't necessarily really need the, I don't even have multiple blocks inside of the Flexbox. It just allows me to align things really nicely. Then there's Grid, where you basically in the properties you define a grid, literally. Like you sit there and say, okay, there's this many lines and up and you know this many vertical axes and this many horizontal axes. And then what you can do is that any block that's inside that block, you can then specify where they land on that grid to get like perfect sort of placement of where you want them to be on the page. Okay, and then so these two things, they tend to have a little bit of a learning curve when you first start using them, but they give you extreme power to really kind of create the page you want and actually makes it really easy to create nice responsive websites because they scale really easy. They're really built with responsiveness in mind. So adjusting your layout for like a mobile phone, using things like media queries, which is another CSS feature that says hey, where you can specify rules, where you can specify rules saying like if the screen is like this big or that small, apply these CSS rules instead. What else is there in CSS? There's also animation, so you can actually animate things using CSS. So you can actually sit there and say, hey, you know, this thing animates in this way. You can create custom animations. There's plenty of animation libraries in there. There's a lot of really cool stuff you can do with CSS that doesn't require you to like jump immediately make the jump to JavaScript. So with just HTML and CSS, you can create quite a bit of a web page. And then the last couple things that are sort of like coming, they're not like household features yet, are things like there's gonna be something called CSS, I think it's called like CSS Genie or something like that. And what that is allows you to actually create custom features in CSS. So you'll be able to create your own custom properties and values and do all sorts of really cool things. So that's that. So when Genie becomes like a household thing in all the browsers, that's going to be really, really powerful. There's also something called container queries. That's sort of like becoming more of a thing and getting more adoption within the browsers and things like that. And what this does is that instead of just saying, hey, is the screen, you know, apply these CSS rules if the screen is such a particular size, it allows you to say, apply these CSS rules if the container is a particular size. So you could have the same size screen, But if a block on that page hits a certain size, you can then change the CSS rules. That's really cool. Okay, because you know you can have blocks that might change size and whatnot, or appear differently on different screens, and you may want to adjust just that block, how that block appears. So that is what a container query is and will be. So hopefully this gives you a good introduction, understanding of like the sort of like the world of CSS. Now generally the way CSS is used is that you link a use a link tag to link to a CSS file, but you could also write CSS in the HTML document using a style tag. And you could also write inline CSS inside the HTML tags using the style attribute. And then once you start getting into JavaScript and using frameworks like React, Svelte, etc., there are plenty of libraries that will actually allow you to write your CSS in your JavaScript. And using JavaScript, you can manipulate the CSS of any item on the page. So you can get really, really interesting things. Like you can really like start changing colors on the fly because you click the button. And we'll get more into that when you get to JavaScript. Because JavaScript can essentially, after the page loads, change any CSS or HTML aspect that was initially there on the page and change it to something else. And that's kind of what makes JavaScript so much fun. But yeah. So that's the end of this episode. I'll see you all later. My name is Alex Merced. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Merced Coder. Make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel over there on YouTube. Just look up Alex Merced Coder or just Alex Merced. I'm not hard to find. And then head over to Dev Nursery and Grok Overflow where you can find, categorized playlists of all my videos and blog tutorials. And you can also join the Slack and Discord communities to meet other developers. Have a great day and enjoy.